Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And then Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" And from these two verses, I'd like to talk for a little bit tonight from the title, Like a Lion. Like a Lion. Let's pray over this word. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would speak to me and speak through me as I bring your word tonight. Lord, that you would anoint me. Lord, that this word would fall on good ground. Lord, that it would not return void. Lord, but that we could apply it to our hearts and apply it to our lives. Lord, that you would create permanent change in each and every one of us tonight through your word. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we live in a world full of imitations. In the fashion world, you've got these dupes, not Duke, dupes that everyone is talking about. And essentially, you've got these brand name fashion places that have clothes for $60, $100, or $200. But people don't want to spend that. And so places like Amazon or Shein have created these dupes. And you can get something for $10 or $20, and it's not as great quality, and it might rip after the third tear, but it's going to look good for those first three. And everybody loves to show off their dupes. If you go to the grocery store, you've got off-brands, and I'm not here to hate on off-brands, because crispy fruity rice from Kroger always hits the spot in the big bag. But there are some off-brands that just don't hit the mark, like Oreos. Never get off-brand Oreos. Pay the two extra dollars and get the double stuff, which is the only right Oreo to get. And if you disagree, we'll have altar call after the message. Another one is Dr. Pepper. There's only one Dr. Pepper. Can I get an amen? Amen. Dr. K, Dr. Thunder, Dr. Zevia, they are not the real thing. There's only one Dr. Pepper. And so while some are close to the real thing, we know that some of these things are extremely far off, and nobody would ever get it if it wasn't so cheap. We also live in a world filled with social media. You've got Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok. I think that's all of them. And people complain about how on these social media sites that it's all fake, that the pictures are photoshopped, and it's perfectly manicured to look just a certain way. People spend hours agonizing over the right caption. Sometimes they use AI to write the caption, all to present their life in squares or through posts to share who they want us to think they are. But that's not how it is. And in fact, people created this social media app called Be Real, where people at certain times of the day are notified to take a picture of themselves and their surroundings in an attempt to show their real lives, to be real, because people noticed that what we were seeing was not real. And people want to be real. We want the people around us to be real. You don't want to be fake. You want to be real. But we live in a fake world. And the reason for this is that the ruler of this world, who is the devil according to Jesus in John chapter 12, is a fake. The devil is a fake. We'll go back to our first verse tonight, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." But we read in the next verse in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And this, of course, is in reference to Jesus. And so the devil wants you to think that he's a lion. So he prowls around like a lion, but he's really just a stray cat posing as a lion. Because Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the devil wants to be that, but he cannot be, and he is banished to be separate forever. Because he wants to be like God. See, the devil wasn't always Satan in hell. Before humans were created, he was a beautiful angel named Lucifer. And he was over music in heaven and was the most beautiful of all the angels. But along the way, something went wrong. And we read about this in Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 12. It says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low? You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit." Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 15, provides further context. It says, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you." And in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." So this is a story of Lucifer, this beautiful angel who got ahead of himself and wanted to be like God. In fact, he wanted to ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wanted to go above the stars of God. He wanted to be higher than the Most High. And he wanted to be like him. And for his pride, he was brought down to hell to spend eternity separated from God. And so because he's there, he wants to bring as many people with him by selling an imitation. I don't think it's an accident that the first time that the devil speaks as a serpent in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, he tells Eve that if she eats of this fruit, she will be like God. And to Eve, that sounds pretty good, to have knowledge of good and evil. Sounds like a pretty good deal. And she gets a fruit in addition. But the devil knows what happens when you try to be like God. He's spending eternity there right now. But he didn't tell that to Eve. He didn't tell her, "Hey, if you eat of this fruit, you're not going to be like God, but instead you're going to be banished from paradise. You're going to have pain in childbirth. Your husband's going to work and toil and sweat all the days of his life. Because sin has entered the world, your first son is going to murder your second son, and then your first son is going to be banished." He didn't tell her any of that. He didn't tell her the fine print that came with the fruit. Because his only mission is found in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." When the devil wakes up in the morning, that's the post-it notes on his mirror. Steal, kill, destroy. That's it. That's all that's on his agenda. That's all he wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is a master deceiver. John 8:44, Jesus speaking again, says, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So when the devil speaks, he lies. He can't do anything else but lie. He cannot speak any truth, for there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of lies. One might say he's the lion. He's lying about trying to be a lion. But he is a master of deception. He's good at this. He's good at lying. He's good at deceiving because that's all he does. You know, they say that to be a master of something, if you do it for 10,000 hours, you can master anything. And the devil has been doing this since Genesis chapter 1. He's been lying and deceiving time after time. And so he's good at it. It's why people fall. It's why Eve fell. It's why we read in the Bible about time after time, person after person, that falls for the temptations of the enemy. And that's why Peter, in our first verse that we read, gives us the admonition to be sober-minded and to be watchful. Because when you're sober-minded and you're not under the influence of something, whether that's substances, ungodly friends, ungodly culture, ungodly environment, and ungodly attitude, you can see the devil for who he really is. When you're watchful, when you're focused, like a security guard, noticing everything that's going on, you can see the devil for who he really is. He's not a lion. He's a little stray, hairless cat posing as a lion. You know, you've seen in the movies where there'll be a shadow and it'll look like this big animal is coming around the corner, and then it turns out to be just a little cat. That's the devil. He will magnify situations and manipulate your perspective and make you think that he's this big, roaring lion with a big bite, but he's just a stray, hairless cat looking to devour you. It's who he is. It's what he does. He is a liar and the father of lies, seeking someone to devour, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When Jesus was about to begin his ministry, he goes on a 40-day fast and is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. This is found in Matthew chapter 4. And so first the devil tempts him and says, hey, you're hungry. Command these stones to be bread. Take this shortcut that I'm offering you to fulfill a need, a desire of yours. And Jesus says, no, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so then the enemy takes him and says, hey, you want to make a name for yourself, right? You haven't started your ministry yet. You want people to know who you are. You want people to know the name Jesus of Nazareth. Jump off this tower and command the angels to save you. I know they can do it. You know they can do it. Make a name for yourself. Take this shortcut. And again, Jesus responds and says, thou shalt not test God. And so finally, he says, hey, I heard you want to be a king, right? Be king of the Jews. Well, I can give you all the kingdoms of the world. Everything as far as the eye can see can be yours if you bow down and worship me. If you take a shortcut and worship me, I'll give you what I think you want, what you think you want. But instead, Jesus says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And this is why it's so important that we know the word of God, because this is how we fight back against the attacks of the enemy. In the armor of God that we have, the only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. And so that is how we fight back against the attacks and the lies of the enemy. If we know God's word, if we know the truth, it makes the lies easier to spot. So that's why we need to know God's word. But the devil was trying to sell Jesus on a shortcut and said, hey, you want to be popular? You want to have all the kingdoms? Then listen to me. Do what I say. Well, I think it worked out pretty well for Jesus to not listen to what the devil says. The most popular person who ever lived and is the sovereign king of the entire universe for all of eternity, because he didn't give in and settle for an imitation. He didn't take the shortcut. The problem is that sometimes the imitation isn't as easy to spot. Sometimes it takes time to realize that what the devil has sold us is in fact a lie, that we got scammed. This is what happens in Exodus chapter 7 and 8 when Aaron and Moses go up to Pharaoh to tell him to let the Israelites go from 400 years of bondage and slavery. And Pharaoh goes, well, why should I listen to you? And Aaron goes, really? Well, watch this. And so he throws down his staff and it becomes a serpent. And I can imagine he's like, that's going to get him. We're just going to go. All I have to do is throw down a staff. And Pharaoh goes, oh, well, my magicians can do that. And so they throw down their staffs, and they all become serpents. Now, of course, Aaron's staff serpent swallowed theirs, which is a little bit of foreshadowing. But in the moment, Pharaoh didn't want to listen to Aaron and Moses. He said, what you can do, my magicians can match. And so then the plagues begin, and Aaron goes down to the Nile and strikes it with his staff, and it turns to blood. But Pharaoh's magicians do the same thing, and they're able to turn water into blood. And then Aaron then gets frogs to cover the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh's magicians can do the same. But finally, we get to the third plague, and Aaron calls on gnats to swarm across the entire land of Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh's magicians are not able to match this. And they go and tell Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Because they knew that there was something different that Aaron was doing versus what they were able to do. They could match it for a little while, but eventually the imitation ran out. And the imitation always falls short. But the devil doesn't want us to know that. He wants us to settle for the imitation and settle for the shortcut and never experience the real thing. Because he knows once we experience the real thing, there's no settling for a shortcut. Once you've had Dr. Pepper, you can't go back to Dr. Thunder. You can't. And the devil knows that once we experience the real thing, there's no going back to an imitation. And so he wants us to settle for sin, to be separate from God like he is. Because again, he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We see this in real life with the pornography industry. This is a billion-dollar industry that has ensnared millions of people across the world. It's infiltrated high schools, middle schools, elementary schools. It's infiltrated our churches. And it's not just a male problem anymore. Studies and surveys show that 1/3 of people who watch pornography are females. This is a real problem. But it's all fake. It's fake love, fake intimacy, fake desire. But it speaks to a need that people have. And so they settle for a shortcut. And it ruins lives. It ruins relationships. It ruins marriages. But it doesn't happen the first time. Because it's an imitation. It's a shortcut. It's not the real thing. The devil hates marriage. He hates it because it is a metaphor for our relationship with God. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that as the husband is to the wife, Jesus the groom is to his church, which is the bride. We are the bride of Christ. And so the more godly and successful and happy a marriage is, the more we understand our relationship with God. The more we understand who he is, that we are complete in him. And so he will do anything he can to steal, to kill, and to destroy our marriages. And a lot of times it starts before marriage. Because he'll attack a single person. They'll start asking themselves questions. Am I not handsome enough? Am I not pretty enough? Am I not smart enough or funny enough? Would I really not be a good provider? Would I really not be able to keep a home? Would I not be a good dad? Would I not be a good mom? And so they settle for the first person who gives them attention, tells them that they're special, tells them that they love them, or though it's an empty sentiment, and they play married. And before you know it, they're living together, they're sleeping together, and they don't know how they got there. But they settled for an imitation. And they have cheapened the holy sanctimony of marriage. They've cheapened it. And there's nothing wrong with being single. Just going to say that. Paul was single. Jesus was single. They both speak about it being a higher calling. But if you're going to be single, be single. And if you're going to be married, be married. There's no in-between. There's no in-between. But let's just say you do get married well, then the attacks just ramp up even more. And the enemy will do everything he can to destroy your marriage, to make it a cheap imitation of what marriage is supposed to be. And the main way that he attacks this is a lack of intimacy. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, Paul writing to married couples says, "Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." It's important for married couples to be affectionate, to be intimate, to come together as one. And the devil knows that if he can keep you from each other, then he can keep you from being the godly couple that you're supposed to be. It's been said that the devil will do everything he can to get you into bed before marriage and everything he can do to keep you out of it once you're married. And that is scripture. There's scripture for that. Because he wants us to settle for an imitation, whether to play married with someone who's not our spouse, or once we are married, to settle for a loveless marriage where you're just roommates that have a joint checking account and there's no intimacy. Because we are called to be intimate with God. And so we are to mirror that in our marriages. And this is not a relationship seminar, but I'll move on to the drug industry, right? And this is not just illegal drugs, but prescription pills, alcohol, legal drugs that people take to feel a certain way. They know that they can't go to sleep unless they take that pill, that they're going to be anxious unless they take that pill, that no one likes to be around them unless they have a couple drinks in them. And they try to imitate a feeling that only God can give. Because we are not to be anxious. We are to have peace. Because God is the Prince of Peace. He gives a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the world can't take away. But instead, we rely on substances to feel a certain way. We settle for an imitation when the real thing is right there. The real thing is right there. The devil will try to get us into a love of money, because money itself is not bad, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Because there's nothing against being successful, but when it becomes your everything, when you find your security in how many zeros in your checking account, or try to keep up with the Joneses and find your status based on how much money you have, that becomes your God. Jesus said you can either serve stuff or you can serve God. You can't serve both. The rich young ruler had done everything right since he was a youth. He had followed every commandment. He would be on the front row. He'd be jumping up and down. But then Jesus said, "I need you to sell everything you have." He said he walked away sad. And he proved who the real God was in his life. Stuff. His possessions. What he had. Finally, the devil will try to get people to sell their soul to gain the whole world. And this might not be a literal transaction, but there are people who have sold their soul to gain their whole world. To have a certain amount of influence, a certain amount of followers, a certain amount of net worth, to have people chant their names from a concert stage. And they have made the trade of their soul for their world. And the devil will make that trade every single time. He says, "I'll give you 30 years of happiness, but you're going to spend eternity with me." This might be your whole world, but you're going to spend eternity separated from God. And people make that trade, and the devil isn't quick enough, can't be quick enough to sign the contract. He doesn't read the fine print. He doesn't say, "Hey, I'll give you this, but this is what's coming after." Because he wants to sell us on an imitation. Because he is an imitation. The devil himself is fake. He is a fraud. He wants to pretend that he is like a lion, but again, he's just a stray hairless cat. I'm coming to a close if the musicians want to make their way up here. I know this was a heavy message tonight, but I can feel God reaching for someone who has bought into the like a lion lies of the enemy, that they settled for an imitation. They settled for a shortcut. And they've gone further and they've done more than they thought they ever would. But everything we need is in Jesus. We are complete in Him. He has the real thing. He's got the real thing. We don't have to settle for off-brand. We don't have to settle for an imitation. The real thing is here tonight. Some people settle because they think they don't deserve it. You know what? They're right. None of us deserve it. But God's grace and His mercy and His love are so unconditional and so reckless. It doesn't make sense. But God wants all of us to experience a real thing. To experience love. To experience appreciation, to experience affirmation, to being valued, to being needed, to being wanted, to be desired. If you want to be desired, God desires you more than anything could ever, any person could ever desire you. He wants you. He loves you. But it's hard to see that sometimes. And again, the devil will manipulate our situations to look like God's not there. God doesn't love you. You've done too much. What would God want with you? And He'll manipulate the angles and get the perfect picture of who He wants you to think you are. Because He knows when He looks in the mirror what He sees. He thinks it's a lion, but it's not. And He wants to convince you that you are nothing more than nothing. But with Jesus, we can be everything. Nothing plus Jesus equals everything. And so we can experience the real thing. We can experience salvation according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that we can repent of our sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost through the evidence of speaking with tongues. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That we can follow the gospel message of death, of repenting and dying to ourselves, of being baptized and burying our sins, and then being resurrected by the Holy Spirit of God. So I don't know who this is for. I don't know if it's for someone in here tonight. Or maybe as I've been preaching, you've been thinking of a loved one, a friend, a family member, a co-worker who's bought into the like a lion lies, who's bought the imitation, who's settled for a shortcut. But someone needed to hear this message. I'm about to open up the altars if y'all want to stand with me. Before I do, I want to give a little bit of instruction. I want these altars tonight to be a house of prayer. And maybe you need to pray for yourself. Maybe this message was for you. And there's no shame in that. And if you want somebody to pray for you, we would love to pray for you tonight. But maybe you're thinking of someone else that could really use a prayer. And so we could turn this house into a prayer of intercession for for all those who have bought into the lies of the enemy. And tonight, we are going to bind the lies of the devil. We are going to rebuke them, and we are going to send them back to hell where they belong. Because whatever we bind here on earth is bound in heaven. And if Jesus binds it, there's nothing the devil can do, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. James chapter 4 and 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so tonight, we're going to resist the devil in this house, and he is going to flee from us. His lies are going to flee from us. The imitation, the shortcuts are going to flee from us. And we are going to have a freedom in this house tonight, because we will have the truth. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Because there is a freedom that can only be found in the presence of God. Nothing in this world can emulate it or imitate it like the freedom of God. Because the real thing is here tonight. The real thing. What you've been searching for is here tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.